Okay, if I could have your attention, please. This is 10 o'clock. And the meeting's about to start. This is a meeting of the Pole and Conduit Commission. Today is January the 31st at 10 a.m. at the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, in the basement conference room. We are a little short-handed today with a couple absences, so just bear with us as we move along here. First, is there any residents that would like to speak on any particular petitions? Okay, before I go there, there are three petitions that are being pulled today and not being heard. And on your agenda, they are number 8, number 9, and number 17 will not be heard today. They requested to pull it from the agenda. So if any resident would like to speak on a particular petition, if you could come forward, please. Oh, I'm sorry, which petition is just, I'll go over here. Which petition you got
number 12.
To? Number 12.
20 or 21. They both seem to be the same. 20 or 21.
Ellery Street, I haven't been able to find the number. 14.
Do you remember what Ellery Street was in regards to? Was that
number 14.
Number 14. I got you. I'm sorry.
And number 12.
Number 12.
Or 11 through 16. Number 1.
Number 1. Okay, so we'll pull number 1 first. So if you want to come forward, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Paul Overgag. I'm the owner of 10 Elliott Street, currently being owned by Tim Buck Real Estate LLC, which I'm the manager of. I'm also the owner and operator of Charlie's Kitchen and the Red House Restaurant in Cambridge.
Okay.
I have no objections to the plan, as much as I have objections to the way these things are being supervised and the way they're being executed and coordinated with other works that are being done. Just as some information, the gas company started working on Tuesday morning on Winthrop Street, and they decided to block off from Winthrop Street all the way to IHOP. So when I arrived at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, how do we get access? Oh, you can get access if you ask. I said, well, that's not right for a customer. So that's number one. Is I'd like some coordination and some supervision from the city on a daily basis to make sure that the interest of the businesses is represented. And I think that's the responsibility of the city and not the responsibility of the individual owners. Second, Charlie's Kitchen, about 7 years ago, was told by the city that they no longer could have an outside patio. I said, well, how can we remedy that? Well, Mr. Overgag, you can pay for the construction of the patio in front of your building. And I chose to do that. That was a tremendous investment. And that investment relies on the fact that I should be able to operate my patio throughout the summer season, which goes from April 15th, I think, to October or November 15th. Yes, I understand that we need to make progress and that we need to do renewal, but I also like to make sure that we coordinate as well as possible the fact that I need to keep operating this patio so I can pay the mortgage that I took out to redo this patio. Third of all, that patio needs to be left so it's handicap accessible for all patrons, because that's the reason why the city made me do it, because Elliott Street, the sidewalks, are really not handicap friendly because of all the bumps and this and that and the other thing. Fourth, you're proposing a pole right in front of 10 Elliott Street, which is in the middle of the patio, and I'm kindly requesting to possibly relocate this pole to not to become part of the patio structure so it doesn't obstruct or totally remove it from that sidewalk part. And that's all I have to say.
Hey, is there someone from DPW here? Oh, I'm sorry. Can you come forward? Do you want to come forward, please? We did that petition also. Petition number one was for Public Works. This is for Elliott Street roadway lighting to include 9 poles with concrete bases and 6 handholds, approximately 480 linear feet of 3-inch conduit with power cables and other fixtures necessary for the successful completion of the proposed lighting, as per plans reviewed and approved by the electrical department. Supervision, if you could answer any of the questions that he brought forward.
I agree with them. Right now, the gas company is out there, and it could be better supervised by the city. I just happened to go out there, and he stopped me, and you know, I heard his complaints, and I called the permitting department in the DPW when they came down and rectified the situation that was happening that day, and I think since then it hasn't...
They've been a lot more cooperative, and they now knew that, you know, I was not just some Joe standing there complaining. But, you know, these things should be laid out to the contractor beforehand, that it's of, you know, safety first, of course. But after that, it should be the residents and the businesses that should be heard and accommodated.
Okay, in regards to the pole that's within that area,
I mean,
will that fall directly in your space?
I mean, well, it's not my space, but yes, we
okay,
lease it.
Okay, within that patio area?
Yeah, it falls directly in there.
Okay. By a few feet, I mean, we think we could...
I have no problem relocating it. It's up to... And the drawings were made and pre-approved, but right. Like I say, it's easy to move something a couple of feet one way or the other.
Yeah. And I'll, of
course... Just finding spot, there is a lot of space that is taken already up there.
Yeah, but like I say, if we can make it part of the patio and make it a corner of the patio, rather than having it be inside the patio, and I would assume that's just moving it a couple feet.
Yeah, I'm sure that's, I mean, these aren't set, a lot of times we end up moving these a little bit one way or the other to accommodate other utilities.
Moving approximately, you know, north, well that's northeast, closer to the curb.
I'm more concerned, are you expecting to keep the concrete patio there, or?
Well, the concrete patio is being ripped up tomorrow.
There, well, to dig through for the gas.
Yep.
Because I think our plans show it to be old brick.
Oh, that's fine. Old brick is fine too. I don't care. But you know, from a timing point of view, you know, when are these things happening? And you know, we have such a small window of opportunity to what we call make the nuts. That to have, you know. What is the timing of this thing? Is it going to happen next October? Then, you know, I have no issue. But I know you guys don't like to do these things in the winter.
Well, Newport is the contractor. I think the 3 days ago they signed the contract. So I don't know if they're exactly geared up to get there right away. Now with the gas company there, we can't exactly have two contractors there at the same time. So, you know, I think they're at least a month, maybe 2 months away from starting.
And how long is the gas work?
When I talked to him, I was just talking to the foreman. I think he was saying at least a month to a month and a half. But I was just talking to the foreman. You need to talk to someone a little higher up than him.
In relation to handicap access, everything will be accessible.
Everything will be conformed to as
any other project.
Yes, we have a. Right. We're trying to get a work order with the EverSource Electric for the vault that's down there to make sure that's compliant.
Yeah.
And that's fairly close to that area as well.
Well, I'd make it a motion to approve.
Second that motion.
And contingent upon just coordination with the businesses in the area. And
we'll accommodate
the pole in one way or other to just to work with
and if
the abundance of the project.
If Lou's not the supervisor, if the city can just identify the supervisor to the local business owners and work with them as the project starts, I think that's all I'm asking for. I'm not going to stop these things because I shouldn't. But let's work together and let's make it all happen for each other.
Yeah, I believe Lou is the.
I am the going to be the engineer for that work, for the city's work. The gas, I am not. I'm not supervising. I'm not overseeing the gas work.
Who is?
That's Paul. I believe that's Paul Almeida. He's the guy I called.
That's the one guy I saw. Almeida?
Yes.
And his boss is what?
Jaya Naranja.
Jaya.
Don't ask me to spell Naranja.
I got it. Naranja. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you. And that's, so the motion was to approve?
Yes. With all the typical conditions?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next petition we'll hear is petition 11, and if whoever was here to speak on 11.
Here to speak on 11 or 16, should I join or be separate?
I think 11 through 14 are all pretty much related to the same issue with Crown Castle.
As
so
16 and 15.
Yeah, so I would think that if anybody needs to speak on those petitions could step forward. Yes, I think so. We can probably hit them all. Probably yes. I think it's all in relation to the same.
Are you including 14 in there?
Okay, hold on one second.
Yeah, 11 through 16 is
I believe it's
Crown,
all Crown
it's all
Castle
the
for the same.
Yep.
It's all for the upgrade of equipment?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Do we have enough room for this?
I'm more than happy to let somebody take my chair.
Okay, also, I'm sorry if I didn't mention earlier, T.J. Shea is the new superintendent of the streets for Public Works. He will be taking Bill Dwyer's place, who has retired. So I just want to make that clear also. So we can start here. We can just state your name and spell it, please, for the record.
Cecilia, C-E-C-E-L-I-A. My last name is Doucette, D-S, and David, O-U-C-E-T-T-E.
Jean Dolgan, G-E-N-E. Last name, D-O-L-G-I-N.
Joe Solid, J-O-S-O-L-E-T.
Rena Kirsch, R-E-N-A, K-I-R-S-C-H.
Bill Zamparelli, Zamparelli.
Okay, and for Crown Castle?
Amanda Cornwall, Cornwall.
And Joe Shannon, Shannon.
Okay, let's start on the site here.
All right. My name is Cecilia Doucette from Ashland, and I've been asked to speak on behalf of an abutter, Marie-Pierre Dellensinger. She's at 140 Foster Street. I became a technology safety educator after helping Ashland Public Schools become the first in the nation to begin taking precautions with wireless technology. I have also collaborated with Senate President Karen Spilka, Senator Julian Sear, the Joint Committee on Consumer Protection, and others on legislation to address wireless technology risks. Upon investigating the risks of wireless technology, I was astonished to discover that 19 years ago, the German parent company of T-Mobile commissioned a study of mobile communications and health. It reported statistically significant harm in the following 8 ways: gene toxicity, DNA damage, central nervous system impairments to the blood-brain barrier, neurotransmitters and cognitive function, immune system damage, impairment of stress hormones and melatonin, cancers including the brain, blood, central nervous system, eyes, breast, testicles, uterus, skin, and more, infertility and miscarriage, sleep disturbances, headaches, exhaustion, lack of concentration, irritability, anxiety, stress, skin abnormalities, cardiovascular issues, and more. And instead of invoking the precautionary principle, the telecom industry proceeded to roll this out to the public. A 2012 Iranian study concludes cellular phone base station antennas should not be sited closer than 300 meters to populations to minimize exposure to neighbors. Thousands more studies have been done that confirm biological harm and are summarized in Dr. Martin Paul's 2018 paper called 5G, Great Risk for the European Union, the U.S., the International Health Community, compelling evidence for 8 distinct types of great harm caused by electromagnetic field exposures and the mechanism that causes them. So electromagnetic field is the radiation pulsing out of all wireless technology that Crown Castle is proposing to put inside your neighborhoods. Perhaps most important here in the United States, in November, the U.S. National Toxicology Program's $30 million cell phone study determined clear evidence, that's the highest warning they can give, clear evidence of cancer, among other findings. Longtime senior advisor to the World Health Organization, Dr. Anthony Miller, published a 2018 paper recently stating, "We now have the conclusive evidence to reclassify all wireless radio frequency radiation from group 2B, possibly carcinogenic, to group 1, carcinogenic to humans." And it will take time for public policy to catch up, but we should not be allowing more wireless into our communities. As for the industry, in 2015, Harvard published Captured Agency, How the FCC is Dominated by the Industries It Presumably Regulates. Captured Agency details how the industry was able to bring this toxic radiation-emitting technology to market with no safety testing. This is available for free online. Cambridge would be wise to investigate the industry's plans for 5G, and it sounds like these are the 5G small cell antennas or the distributed antenna systems that they're proposing to put outside your bedroom windows. In 2018, The Nation, which is our country's oldest independent magazine, published How Big Wireless Made Us Think That Cell Phones Are Safe, a special investigation, the disinformation campaign, and massive radiation increase behind this 5G rollout. The industry is frantically trying to pass bills at the federal level and put in bylaws at the local level, which they're often just handing to our towns and saying, "Here you go, we did the work for you, why don't you go ahead and put this bylaw in place?" What that will do is force in this toxic infrastructure for 5G and the Internet of Things. It would force the towns to accept legal risk for damages and place a cap on how much our towns can charge for public accessway space use. Recently, FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr stated 5G is safe, and Senator Richard Blumenthal and Congresswoman Anna Eshoo called him out. They sent a formal letter asking him to provide the science on which he based that claim. Congresswoman Eshoo then this month filed a federal bill to block the FCC from taking away local control. There are also very serious legal issues to consider. This is Richard Blumenthal, and this is Congresswoman Eshoo's bill. But there are serious legal risks to consider from wireless technology. Lloyd's of London, Swiss Re, and others already recognize wireless radiation as a leading risk, and they've already put exclusions in their policies. That means the industry is not typically insured for damages, and they may aim to pass that liability on to, in this case, Cambridge, for allowing hazardous radio frequency radiation equipment in. Court cases are already being won around the world for damages. Here's one from Italy. And there's actually a federal lawsuit right here in Massachusetts at the very prestigious Faye School, which feeds up into St. Mark's in Southboro, where children have become ill from the industrial strength Wi-Fi systems. We are fortunate to have many solutions today for more responsible technology. The message is not no technology, but we really need to get a handle on safe technology. California released a cell phone fact sheet, and as reported in the Boston Globe this month, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health is preparing to release fact sheets as well, including one for cell towers, which is what this equipment is if you're looking to put right inside your street. So it may be unwise to allow additional wireless technology into our communities at this juncture. The film that won Best Documentary at the DC Independent Film Festival is called Generation Zapped. In 74 minutes, everyone could quickly come up to speed on this issue. There's a free screening coming up at the Lexington Public Library next Thursday on February 7th for those who might like to get a quick education. The nonprofit Wireless Education has distilled this issue down into half-hour courses that anybody can take online for less than the cost of a movie ticket. Perhaps most important to Cambridge, there is a new policy paper out of Washington, D.C. that can guide our communities to create safe technology solutions. It's called Reinventing Wires, the Future of Landlines and Networks, and it too is available for free online. Grassroots environmental education has also collected the best ideas from cities and towns all over the country that are pushing back against the FCC and the unfettered rollout of small cell wireless facilities. This model ordinance can help Cambridge protect not only one's health, but your property values. Studies show that property values drop about 20% if you put a cell tower nearby. And it can also help to protect your privacy, your safety, and your public health. I urge you to contact the Burlington, Massachusetts Selectmen. They've just developed a small cell policy to protect their town, and upon rolling out that policy, Verizon actually withdrew their 7 small cell applications. I gave a 1-hour sworn statement to the Massachusetts Department of Public Utilities this fall. The Worcester Smart Meter pilot program was being done out there, and they're imposing toxic utility meters for electricity on people's homes and businesses without their informed consent. I encourage each of you to examine the full spoken and written testimony for additional facts, as well as the testimony sent in for the Massachusetts EMF bills by world-leading scientists, doctors, patients, and public health experts. In closing, please use the legal means you have to prevent further wireless infrastructure in Cambridge. The industry must be held accountable for bringing safe, hardwired technology to the premises. In fact, they already started taxing us to bring fiber to the premises, and then they took another turn and decided it was cheaper and more profitable for industry to simply put up wireless nodes outside your home. So thank you for your time and consideration. And if I might take somebody's business card, I'll go ahead and forward this to you, and it will give you all the links to these documents. But I brought along a copy of the Reinventing Wires for you, as well as a couple of other materials.
If you could leave, we'll take this, you could stop at the License Commission on your way out.
Okay.
And see Dana.
Okay.
And you could submit everything, any communication you need.
Okay.
To go, you know, or whatever. For your testimony today, anything else that you might want to put with them.
Thank you.
Commissioner Lankowskis, would it be helpful if we explained what this project is and then go back to the residents if they have more direct questions, because maybe they don't understand exactly what we're doing?
I think that would be helpful, yes, if you could.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can look at everybody. So good morning. First, I would like to thank the residents for being here, because it gives us a chance to hear what your complaints are and concerns are, as well as gives us a chance to explain to you exactly what's going on. So this deployment, these six sites, are part of a larger project that we've already had most of it approved. It's already been presented in front of the commission. Currently, the equipment is already on the existing poles, and this is not for 5G. This is in order to co-locate Sprint for 4G. The equipment is a slightly larger antenna and a larger shroud.
How much larger?
I can pull out the dimensions for you, and some of them,
double the size.
Well, some of them are going to be 50 inches wide. There's one that is a 70-inch shroud that we've brought before the commission.
The height of the...
Yep. And then the antennas are either mounted on the top of the pole or it's called the comm zone, and they come off the side as is in front of Mr. Dolgan's residence. So the new shrouds are more advanced. They allow for sound dampening and helps keep them quiet because it keeps the equipment cooler. And I'm sorry, ma'am, I forgot your name.
Mrs. Doucette.
Mrs. Doucette. As she was mentioning the emissions, these are all within the conservative limit as set by the FCC. So I was more than happy to answer any specific
Are you familiar with how those FCC limits were set?
I'm not sure that getting too far down a little bit of a rabbit hole on health in this forum is terribly appropriate. We have limited ability to speak on the issue, and I think that Mr. Lankowski's, you've been doing small cell, and I'm sorry, sir, I don't know your history, but I know Mr. Lankowski's have been doing small cell siting in Cambridge for many, many years, and health is beyond, you know, talking about specific health concerns for this wireless infrastructure is beyond the scope overview that's permissible by municipalities by based on the FCC rule.
Well, right. That's not technically true. You can still talk about health.
Certainly, you can talk about it.
You just can't reject a tower based on health, but for property values, that should be enough to let you guys decide this is a really bad idea for your community.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Mm-hmm. So, Section 1455A of the Communications Act permits, does not allow state and local governments to deny facilities that are not a substantial different size than the currently existing facilities. What's the cutoff for you guys to consider something a substantial increase in facility versus not substantial?
So the FCC sets guidelines as to what they determine to be of substantial change, and it is greater than 6 feet. Anything greater than 6 feet or in height.
Divide where that is.
Well, and I think that part of the rationale behind the FCC ruling, why the federal government stepped into this space in terms of regulating co-locations, is because it's such a preferable model of deployment. The alternative, unfortunately, the additional carrier has the demand, right? So we're either going to be co-locating on infrastructure that's already there, and yeah, the antenna's going to be bigger and the shroud's going to be bigger so that we can fit the radios and get the right RF.
My question was not to you guys. My question is to the commission.
Please.
So I'm sorry. Your question was, can they increase
the
guidelines at the FCC?
The guidelines state that a state or local government may not deny and shall approve any eligible facilities request for a modification of an existing wireless tower or base station that does not substantially change the physical dimensions of such tower or base station.
That's correct.
The request that they are making widens the shroud
within the boundaries
by two. It goes far beyond what the pole width is, and it goes. It sticks out, I think it's now 50 inches versus
I believe the original shroud, I don't know the exact dimensions offhand, but they were increasing a radio module in it, which is twice in size, but the shroud was originally larger than the radio, I believe.
I believe it was a single. I have the original and the updated documentation. I'm happy to show it to you. It is literally double the size in width. It extends beyond the pole on either side.
It is larger, and it's what we're deploying, and it's consistent with the FCC rule. Again, the rationale behind supporting the co-location rather than an alternative deployment is that the federal government and I think all of us involved have decided it's a better way to deploy wireless infrastructure to have multiple carriers on an existing site rather than one new carrier on every pole down a street. And that's the alternative we're looking at as we, you know, as demand increases to the extent that it does.
I think this raises the question for us, is the original tower was never approved by Pole and Conduit. There was never a public hearing to place the tower on Emmons Place.
I believe there was.
It was never notified any of the abutters because I never received any letter, and I am very, very diligent about responding to any of this. I never received, and I've been an owner in this property for over 30 years, so there's no way I would have not been notified. This was probably 2 years ago that they installed it. This was because Verizon had an attachment on the pole, and they came forward and made the attachment as a cell tower as opposed to a telephone.
We could look back and check that, but
okay.
I believe all notifications were sent.
What I'm saying is you're further exasperating a situation that was never properly approved in the first place.
Well, that's yet to be, I mean, who would look back on the records to see?
Okay.
They are required to notify all the abutters. And they, the green cards, the registered letter, I believe.
I would have received the registered letter, and I've been here for a long time, Steve.
Well, we have those records, and
okay.
We can check.
All right.
And we'll do so.
I actually live and own 3 Emmons Place, where number 12 exists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually technically on my property, the telephone pole, which is less than 12 feet away from my home, where my 3-year-old lives. It is in the middle of our driveway. We have pictures to show you.
I can actually provide you the pictures if it's helpful. This is a shot of the pole. You want to see that? There's a cell phone tower at the top, and this is what was added when they did that. You got a shot of it. This is a picture of her home. See the tightness of the neighborhood. I also want to call your attention to the fact that this is all posted as a fire lane because of safety access. They're going to be installing this in the fire lane, at least 7 to 8 inches into the fire lane. It is very congested. When we're dealing with trash day, it is virtually impassable. Rena will have no place to put trash barrels during that day except in the fire lane.
On the day of installation?
No. During any day, every Wednesday when we have trash. That's where her trash has to go if they put that there. This is 20 inches around for the first 7 feet, for 6 feet.
No, sir.
I believe the height.
All we're doing is changing this box and changing this antenna.
It said 70 inches.
It's going to be
the box size is
7 inches wide.
So it's going to go from here to here.
Height.
It's going
to
get taller.
We have to comply with ADA rules and
there's going to be limited change to any appearance on the bottom of the pole.
Can I ask some more questions?
I would like to finish with number 12, if that's okay. I don't know number 12.
Can you speak a little louder, please? They may want to hear you too.
I'm not the loudest person. Apologies. So the telephone pole is already lifting. It's really bent. We're worried about additional weight falling. We are, of course, worried about property value. And if we lose our parking space, that's a significant loss of value as well. And I haven't wanted to consider the effects on my child and his health, but thanks for bringing that up.
And in keeping with that, my neighbor at number 5, her neighbor immediately next to her, is I live at number 7. He provided me a letter this morning. They have a 1-month-old child that just was born in December, and he is very concerned. He wrote that to me probably 5 minutes before I came here. But Meyer was very concerned about that, as was my neighbor across the street at number 8, Sheila Hedge, H-E-D-G-E, I believe is her spelling. But she was very concerned. She has a 1-year-old child also.
And there's 2 other children on our street.
Right, and there's 2 other children on the street.
A 6-year-old and a 12-year-old.
But the congestion on this street is just impossible. I mean, we virtually are impassable during winter months. And, to add additional cell towers is just, there's no benefit for anybody on the street. there's no purpose in this other than the fact that they want to put it out of the way.
And it's amazing that they pick Emmons Place, the most congested place in the world.
Right. There's no reason that it needs to be on Emmons Place. There's no benefit for anybody who lives on Emmons Place, and it's basically going to cause problems for the abutters and the neighbors. You know, we are strongly opposed to citing this here.
Okay, we'll go back. Are you all set?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Anything further?
I think she hasn't spoken yet.
Okay. Sure.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this issue. I'm Joe Solit. I am a medical school faculty member at Harvard. I'm in the Division of Sleep Medicine. I'm here to voice my growing concern about the health and safety information related to sleep disruption and 5G. I'm also a historical commissioner in Cambridge, and before we installed the LEDs, I sat at a meeting saying, I'm hearing in the Division of Sleep Medicine about the LED spectra and their potential influence on sleep. We should wait until there's better technology and increasing evidence before we cover the city with these. We didn't wait. Then we had to go through a dimming program. As you probably are aware, there are places in the country that put in the lights we put in that have actually removed them instead of doing a dimming program. I think based on the growing evidence, especially some of the alarming material that we also heard from Mrs. Doucette this morning, I think it's premature for Cambridge to do this. I'm very concerned about it. Part of what I also study is noise and sleep disruption. I'm glad to hear that an effort is being made for the cooling equipment to be quieter, but if this is this close to your building, you're likely going to hear this. Is this cooling going on and off, this equipment, based on temperature? Is it continuous? Finally, I don't know if the appearance of these has at all been reviewed by the neighborhood conservation districts or the historical commission. Some of this does not sound very attractive for placement in historic areas. And again, I don't know whether that's potentially modifiable. I guess my final conclusion is all of us would like to have better, faster technology, but if we are unaware or not yet completely aware of the risks, I think permitting this is premature. Thank you.
Looks like he might have wanted to answer about the noise.
I didn't. I actually didn't. I think Mr. Dolgan has had some experience with it, and I'm happy to maybe. I think you've got some other issues you'll speak to, and then we can kind of we'll talk again at the end if that makes sense
sure.
to you.
Sure. Yeah.
So you guys are saying you're co-locating for Sprint. A couple clarifying questions on that. So one, a look at the Sprint coverage map shows that they have excellent coverage in all the locations where you're asking for co-location. What's the rationale behind that? Two, with the potential impending merger of Sprint and T-Mobile, will there be extra facilities available to Sprint or T-Mobile to make use of within the city, either from you guys or from alternatives? Three, you say that you're looking for, you don't have alternatives, or this is the best possible of the alternatives to co-locate facilities. For example, on Acorn, half a block away, there's a large commercial building, a large condo building, which has deployed facilities on the rooftop, far away from the line of sight of anyone, far away from street level noise and people, and they've managed to do it with no issues. Can you explain why that is not a good alternative as opposed to the existing pole structures? And then finally, you're materially widening the facilities, or you're proposing to. Have you guys looked at other arrangements to move them along the pole structure so they're out of the way, or move to other pole structures? I believe from what I have seen in the past that the largest cost of deployment is actually running the fiber. So moving to additional poles that are in different locations or deploying thinner infrastructure and thinner facilities is a viable option and should be. Have you guys considered this?
And then if I forget something, you can...
You didn't mention the noise. I know you've worked with a company in the past on some issues.
I've had to, so it's another issue, and I don't want to bring it up here because it's not for these, but you guys do a nice job. The contractors that you hire are absolute crap. Every time they come out and they work on the poles, they retune them so they're noisy again, and then I have to call the licensing commission to have you guys tune them back down. So deal with your contractors well, please.
We certainly will. And you won't have to call them anymore if you have problems. Let me leave one for everybody.
Thanks.
Next time you have an issue, you can certainly feel free to call the city, but call us also, and we do what we can to help.
No, and I do appreciate you reaching out to me directly. So Mr. Gilligan reached out to me last week. I tried to get him as much information as I could to prepare him for the meeting as well. So as your concerns come in to the commission or to us, we will. Do our best to address them with the noise. So with regards to Sprint and T-Mobile, we don't have any information on that. This is the thing I can speak to on how that'll change the industry as a whole. In regards to the first one question was regarding Sprint and their coverage. So with the increased demand for data, and as our devices get smarter, they start to pull more at the macro facilities, which are the large cell phone towers. And by adding these small cells, it helps remove that burden from the tower. You ever go to a beach or a concert and you have full service but you can't make a phone call? It's because the macro tower is too bogged down with the demand that it's receiving from all the different devices. So the small cells help to unburden the macro. So, and especially in cases of emergency, you want to be able to make those phone calls.
With all due respect, those are great examples, but there's no proof there that there's actual demand. You guys haven't provided any.
Well, I think
further to the emergency thing, if you dial 911, your phone goes to any available frequency on any available carrier. Having Sprint available or not available doesn't matter.
Mr. Gilligan, I think, shared some news that you've worked for Crown in the past, yeah, which I think is wonderful, and we're always grateful when partners in crime show up to public events on this. I think the reality with the coverage is we have customers. We're not building this, because we want to. And we are in a preparation mode, dealing with the Internet of Things, dealing with the connected devices. Demand is through the roof. That's what, as much evidence as you've brought in, I think that's where the country's going, that's where the world's going, that's why the federal government plays in this space. And that's what we're working on. If Sprint wasn't telling us that they have demand there, they're paying a significant amount of money to do it, and that's why we're building in these places. The point you raised about fiber and about power is absolutely right. Some of those pictures you showed about the poles in your neighborhood, there's a lot of wires on those poles.
There are a lot of wires.
A lot of wires on those poles. We're limiting that problem by this deployment because we've already got fiber there. We've already got power there. We're not going to be adding any new wires.
You're exacerbating the problem on our neighborhood. We have a very congested neighborhood that really can't absorb any more activity there. And you're coming down to place an antenna that's twice the size of what's currently there. And there is some question of whether that was even properly noticed when it was first installed 2 years ago. Now you're coming down to further exacerbated by adding an additional pole saying, well, now that this is here, we get to expand it. Well, that is an irrational approach. Our position is that we are in a very congested neighborhood. We have almost 21 residential units on a very small street. There's five buildings, I think six buildings altogether. And there is just no way we can accommodate additional activity like this. With all of the new children being born on the street, I think this is a risk that we do not want to take. We are saying there's 5,000 other poles in the city of Cambridge, and you may go find another pole somewhere else, but there's no reason why this needs to be on our private way on Emmons Place. So I would just urge you to reconsider. You know, there are probably 12 poles in view of our street. If you look at the pictures, you can see existing poles, any one of which could accommodate this in a better way than our small street could.
And I think one of the things we do, you know, Crown doesn't only do co-locations. We also do new small cell siting, you know, frequently. And we try to, when we do our analysis on our initial build, we do a great deal of considering alternatives and trying to, you know, we work with the commission
and
show.
What alternative did you consider, Jake?
I apologize. I wasn't here.
So then why
are you
telling me about the
well, because I'm sure, because I know that the commission
it's not an argument of where at the time, and we'll go back and we will look to see if there was a public hearing.
There may have been a public hearing. My complaint is it was never noticed
right,
to the abutters on the street that this was going to be a cell tower originally, and now you're telling us that we get to expand it because it currently exists, and that is wrong.
And we will look into that.
All right.
And with all due respect, the public is not clamoring for 5G and the Internet of Things. The public is being sold 5G and the Internet of Things by the industry. When you look at the electromagnetic radiation spectrum, this is where the signal lives and is licensed out. The industry has maxed out their profitability on the 3G and 4G spectrum. All that's left are these crummy little millimeter waves down at the far end of the microwave radiation spectrum, and their solution is to market those. That's what 5G and the Internet of Things is, and what that means is that these are just crummy little waves. They're promising us faster speeds, big data, but it can't go very far. So the industry's solution is to put cell towers inside our neighborhoods, every 2 to 12 houses, so that they will transfer relay signals from the tall towers down right inside your neighborhood and inside your home. So you can connect data to your baby's diaper and know when it's been soiled. So now your baby will have a radio frequency radiation antenna on their body. All your appliances. And the money to be made here is in big data. They'll sell your data to third-party marketeers so that they can then solicit you for their products. I don't think any of us in this room are clamoring for that. This is industry spin trying to tell us what we want without telling us the risks, and they're very serious risks.
Okay. Would anybody else like to speak before we move forward? Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to continue these petitions 11 through 16. First of all, so we can have our third member of the commission present to hear a lot of the testimony, which has all been recorded, we can make a decision that we should think a little bit further rather than this meeting here. And I don't think your equipment is ready to go on the polls within the next 30 days anyhow. So this will be continued to next month where we can get a little more information. In the meantime, we will also check the Eamon's place structure, and if the proper abutters were notified, you should have those green cards.
Yep.
If they were delivered or not, and when they were submitted. So on petitions 11 through 16, I'll make a motion to continue.
Did they send certified letters to us?
I believe they would.
So you will have a record of the certified letters?
We do not keep the green cards. We have an affidavit with a list of where they sent them, and that's on file. They are required to hold the green cards for, I believe, a year.
Well, I can tell you right now, we never received any notice that was going in. I spoke to you at one point about the stick, and you told me it was, you know, that this was happening, but I didn't understand what it was they were doing at the time.
We'll check. We'll see if the letters went out, and if, Joe, you have the green cards for that, we'll reduce those also.
Thank you.
So there'd be a motion?
I second that motion.
Continue this. All those in favor? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
And you'll leave your information with Dana upstairs, sir. Maybe because Nicole would like to see all that information.
And I know this comes out of left field if you've never had a chance to tune into the risk of this.
that you guys should really...
It's an ongoing, it's not just relative to Cambridge.
Oh, no.
It's a large, it goes well beyond Cambridge, but we're, you know, it's a lot of it's a policy decision.
Watch out for the wearables, too.
Okay. Thank you.
We're on footnote 10, too, for the dig, but if we just...
If anybody would like additional information...
Okay, so when it comes through, I'll just continue.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll move on to petition 20 and 21. I think we had a resident would also like to speak on. Unless you're going to speak, you should probably come forward so you can be recorded on the microphone. Okay, if you can start over to the left, just put your name for the record, please.
Sure. Eric Servies.
Matt.
And Matt Beans with Eversource.
Yes. Jackie Duffy, Eversource.
Don Grossman, Sydney Street, Cambridge.
Charles Student, Erie Street, Cambridge.
Tracy McDevitt, Eversource.
Gary Ambrick with Redgate.
Okay, Don, would you like to start?
Sure. I will spare you the long discourse on the negative effects of electric power lines and all that and make it a lot easier. I've presented and written you several times in the past about the prior things. My main goal is getting some coordination so that while they're imposing a nuisance on the neighborhood in terms of digging up the streets, that this would have seemed to have been an appropriate time to have coordinated and undergrounded at least the electric utilities in the neighborhood, which are old, which are, there are many falling down poles. I've sent you pictures of that. There was an unannounced outage last fall because they had to shut down on an emergency basis because the pole was so deteriorated that it was falling over. I have biotech tenants that require reliable power. I can't depend on reliable power if that type of circumstance continues. It seems to me that if you're building a two-story, or you know that you're going to be building a two-story building, that you put in a suitable foundation for a two-story building. You don't do it on an incremental basis and then go back in and dig up and reinforce the foundation. You're going through the effort of putting in conduit now. It seems appropriate to put in additional conduit to underground the utilities in the area, or at least the electrical component of that.
Okay. I believe another reason was for this to be continued was the notification to abutters, which I believe, have you been notified?
I was notified.
And that's been
this
all corrected, so the abutters notifications have been corrected. Sir?
You're finished?
I'm set.
Yeah, I'm a neighbor of Don's. My name is Charles Student, and I live at 98 Erie Street in Cambridge. As I say, I'm an abutter, but I have not received notices of this project or hearing notices. I've been a resident of 98 Erie Street for 18 years and have seen profound changes in the neighborhood, especially the continued construction of attractive residential development. Unfortunately, what hasn't changed, however, is the proliferation of unsightly above-ground utility poles, power, and other utility lines. The installation of underground conduit by Eversource as the first phase of an electric connection to the new MIT Central Utility Plant at 50 Albany Street is a unique chance to begin addressing this issue. I'm here to respectfully request the Pole and Conduit Commission require Eversource and MIT to study the feasibility of undergrounding other overhead utilities along the proposed route and possibly including a few adjacent streets as part of the MIT utility plant project. Not only would this begin to address a very important urban design issue in my neighborhood, but also finally allow street trees to be planted along the project streets that won't have to be brutally pruned on a regular basis in order to prevent damage to overhead utility lines. Furthermore, this would be the first step in my neighborhood of what I hope will be the eventual undergrounding of all overhead utilities throughout the city. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. For Eversource, as far as the duct bank that's being installed, would it be used in the future for undergrounding if a customer were to ask to have their service underground?
Answer that,
so if this this particular duct bank, if it was passing by, I mean, at some point, if I mean, it wouldn't be up to the utility to put everything underground. They are going underground now, but it's a you have other utilities on the poles, mm-hmm. and communications and everything mm-hmm. else. And mm-hmm. if the city is not the community itself, if all the abutters of this duct bank wanted to, if you wanted your street underground, it would be an effort to all of yours, and some cost would be put on the owners also for anything that was any work on private property to the property line. So you would those costs would be on the homeowners.
The only difficulty is that during, for example, the Cambridgeport roadway project a number mm-hmm. of years ago, I think about 10 years ago, I don't think that opportunity was ever presented to us at 98-100 Erie Street. We would have wanted to put the power lines underground. The connections to the building are underground, but the power lines are up there.
Yeah, most of the buildings in the area have already, you know, redone right. their utilities and brought it down the pole and in underground already, so the private property component argument of it is kind of moot.
Yeah, and here we go again, digging up the street. It seems like it's an opportunity to look at this in a comprehensive way. Not sure what could be accommodated as part of this, but it seems like it's worth looking at that before going forward.
I would say, you know, individual residences, you know, would pose an issue with this. This is more of an expansion. The SS lines, high voltage stuff, in order to put, you know, a single service underground, you would be talking additional manholes, transformers, all for one house. Whether that can fit in the street would have to be reviewed case by case, I guess would be the answer to that yeah. question.
Well, I mean, it's not a bunch of individual houses along this right-of-way that we're talking about. It's mostly commercial buildings or large, you know, condominium complexes that are, there are very few drops along the route. It's not like 1,000 yeah. homes. It's
yeah.
like 20 commercial buildings.
There would be a customer cost to that as well, because part of that is, you know, owned by the customer or the owner.
Again,
that would have to be part of it.
We would like to be presented with that opportunity to know what it is that's never happened before. It didn't happen when we did the roadway project, and here we go again. It just seems puzzling to me.
Well, I mean, the marginal cost is different than that. You know, I mean, if you do this MIT project, and then, you know, we have to go back in and start from ground zero, yeah, the cost is probably prohibitive, but to piggyback it onto an, you know, existing project where a lot of the heavy lifting is already being done, it would seem appropriate and prudent and negligent not to at least consider it prior to doing that.
Well, the engineering behind beyond just the electric is quite extensive. I mean, not only what's on the poles, you have gas lines, water lines, sewer lines. And can it be done? You know, is there enough space in the street? There's a huge amount of engineering that we need to go on for the amount of street that we're talking about now, I mean, it would take, you know, years to get done.
But at the same time,
I mean, this duck bank would go in regardless. Or should I say regardless, but the duck bank is needed to go into service the community and as a whole. So, you know, it comes before the board all the time about putting everybody on the ground. And it's a combination of space, cost. Everybody like to see the wires on the ground, but it's just a huge undertaking. In expense.
You're arguing that, you know, they're taking up the space that might preclude us from doing it in the future, so maybe it shouldn't be done. I mean, I think it should be done for MIT, but I also think that it should be coordinated at this point so you don't preclude that option going forward.
It wouldn't be the pole and conduit commission's call to put a street on the ground. It would be a policy issue with the city if they would want to, as they do when they're reconstructing any street, whether it be existing underground as they did on Western Ave, and they're going forward with River Street. Those are all existing underground streets. The only streets that I can remember that went fully underground over the last so many years that I've been here, it's when the whole area is being developed and everything goes underground, and it's at the cost of the developer. So the city hasn't undertaken any part of the city to take their wires and put them underground in the last 30 years that I can remember, other than projects that were developed, for instance, over at Binney Street, in the side streets, Rogers Street. All those wires went underground, but that was at the cost of the developer.
Not that I'm encouraging this, but what does this conduit look like that is going to go underground? You're going to dig up the streets. Is it a wire that looks like this pen?
Nope. So it's going to be a concrete duct bank, and there's 12 5-inch ducts. Those are PVC ducts. So they're arranged, you know, side by side, and it gets encased in concrete. It's about 3 feet deep, you know, from street level to top of that concrete duct bank. Every maybe 400, 500 feet, you're going to have a manhole, and in that manhole is going to be the splice of the cable that goes through those ducts.
So this is a very substantial piece of construction.
Yeah, the whole duct bank's going to be maybe 2.5 feet wide.
Not practical.
2 feet deep.
Not practical to put above ground is the point.
No.
That would increase what you have above.
Yeah, well, I know. That's why I'm not arguing that.
Yes, sorry.
I guess what I'm arguing is, when do you stop?
Yeah, what's there?
And it's approximately 3 feet below top of cover. So.
Yeah.
So everybody would love to have their wires put on the ground and not see anything. It's just, you know, a lot of it's, there's just not, if you look at everything that's above ground, to go underground, you're not just talking conduit wires, you're talking transformers, and then you go to the communication ends, you're talking, you know, their end of it, and their electronics, and what's susceptible to, you know, being underground is not best environment either.
So is the path through the community development department, asking them to take this on as an issue?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If the community development want to develop an area and if it's on a, I don't know, so many year plan with the city as they do different streets over.
5-year plan?
Through a 5-year plan, if a certain area was going to be reconstructed, they could consider what the cost would be to do that and try to work it in the overall development of the area.
Yeah, the cost, of course, being a very significant aspect of this.
Correct.
I know that the city is looking at amending the tree ordinance to control the cutting of trees on private property, all related to the climate change issue. Mm-hmm. But I think also very important, which I haven't heard a lot of talk about, is the street tree issue. The fact that, and I mentioned it in my earlier remarks, that we have these street trees, but they're brutally trimmed year after year by the power companies to prevent damage to the power lines. So it would be nice to have a comprehensive plan, I'll make this up, 20 years, where over the next 20 years we start to put the power lines underground throughout the city and find a way, obviously, to fund that. Be a partnership between the city and you're suggesting the private property owners.
Yeah, that would be beyond this board.
You know, I understand, because that's my question earlier through the Community Development Department. Yeah.
Correct. And it would be a policy decision with City Council and City Manager. It'd be quite extensive, but it would be, you know, a 20-year lookout or whatever, as you said, it's over time.
We have our work cut out for us now.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your input. So back on to the two petitions. I think they both have been continued for a couple of months. Some of the work has been started. TJ, do you have anything to add to either petition?
Make note on petition 20 that would like to allow the review process of the DPW engineering and STV for the work itself. And then we're also looking for the proof of the 8M water, MWRA 8M water and sewer permit.
That was submitted.
Yeah, okay.
That has been submitted to Public Works?
Yeah.
So you've on the first, I think on one of the petitions of Putnam Ave section, have you completed all your manholes? Are you looking forward to schedule and conduit? Is that where you're at with the project now?
The segment coming out of Putnam Station?
Yes.
So all six manholes have been installed. We are just starting the conduit to connect them.
Okay.
And how many feet of conduit on that run?
They're about 500 feet apart, so it's maybe a little less than 3,000, 2,500.
2,448.
There's a section, because when you add them up, it'll be 500 plus.
Okay, so on the Putnam Ave petition, move forward with make motion to approve Putnam Ave section with continuing
to review.
Continuing review. Do you have the STV? Are they on board? Have they been on board?
They've been on site every day.
They have been.
Yep.
So they're continuing.
We've been working well.
So they will be continuing working. All right. So it'll be a motion to approve the petition number 21 for the Putnam Ave section of. Project. So that'd be a motion to approve.
Second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Okay. So on the second section, which is the Albany, I believe it's the Albany Street section, that continues from Putnam to Mass Ave. That you haven't started, of course. You haven't started that yet, right?
No.
And as far as using the Waverly path, that's been ironed out, everything on the private property issue.
So we're still, we're still working with MRT and Purrington?
Yeah.
But the Waverly path is the city, correct?
It's, I believe it partially, part of it is city and part of it is MIT. And then Puritan, I believe, is private and... Mm-hmm. Might be MIT. So that's still going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are you proposing to continue after? What's your time frame to moving on to the second section?
As soon as we
work
can.
Work it in concurrent mm-hmm. with the conduit on Putnam Ave?
Yes.
So you do the same thing that you were doing on Putnam Ave, install your manholes first?
Correct.
Like to,
can I just ask some clarification? On 20, it talks about Sydney Street being 907 feet of conduit, and on 21, it talks about 740 feet of conduit. I'm not sure what the discrepancy is. On 20, it talks about Sydney Street being 907 feet of conduit, and on 21 it talks about from Putnam to Erie Street, 740 feet of conduit. So, curious as to why the discrepancy. Erie Street, distance of 907 feet.
That's Sydney Street.
Yeah, that's on Sydney Street, and this one's on, also on Sydney Street, from Putnam, distance of 740 feet.
So these are two different items, so I gotta believe they're two different sketches.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, well, no, it's one sketch.
I think it's both the same project.
Well, it is. It's two different projects on one sketch, because they're being installed as one. I would say that's probably just how they were pulled off the prints, because they are labeled as two separate duct banks. But it is the same path.
So if it's the same path, shouldn't it be the same length?
No, not if you're not ending at the same end. If you're ending in a different spot, you're in different distances.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How long is this construction going to take? When do you anticipate starting, and when will it be completed?
So, in a perfect world, let's say we started after the winter moratorium. Mm-hmm. Two crews ready to go. We're looking at probably 4 to 5 months from start to finish. I'd like to get some of this work started over the winter if we continue to have halfway decent weather, maybe with just one crew, to get a little bit ahead of the game.
Okay, thank you.
I'd say 4 to 5 months during the season.
So when would you expect to start the petition, this petition for...
this 21?
Yeah, Norfolk. The Waverly Street path section. Would you wait until you finish the section on Putnam Ave first?
No,
and then move on?
So Putnam Ave, that crew is going to continue
their
conduit work.
Yeah.
I'd like to bring in a second crew. Probably start with test pitting on Sydney and work our way down through the project, test pit for the manholes.
Okay.
And then follow
how long would you expect that to take, your test pits, and then moving forward with your manholes?
We'd probably test pit 3 or 4 manholes and then
yeah.
get started with the installation.
Okay.
A lot of it's on weather, so to do the manhole, we'd like to have, you know, a clean week in the schedule. If we only have 2 clean days and then a snowstorm, we'll probably do a few more test pits. But that's coordinated with STV and DPW.
So you're talking March?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's continue the second section. You can continue with test pits on those sections, but clarify all the use for with MIT, whatever agreements you have with MIT, finalized for Puritan Street and the Waverly Path section. So we'll make the motion to continue, but coordination with DPW, and of course, you need any digging, excavation, you need to write a letter to the Commissioner of Public Works to dig during the moratorium,
mm-hmm.
both for test pits or anything else.
But so that won't include any manhole installation, just test pits?
It would work at the same way that we work with Putnam Ave.
Okay.
All
right. So test pits are okayed by STV?
With coordination, yep, exactly, with STV and Public Works is coordination.
Sure.
They could move forward with that, and the final approval would come for your conduit once you get all the issues resolved with the private property and MIT and the Waverly Path section. So I believe you have, I don't know, do you have any other MWRA permits that would be pending? Nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing down the Waverly Path. I think it was just the water department. Yeah. Might have had a water main that went down there. Okay, so that'd be a motion to continue.
Second motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Thank you. Do we have any more residents or abutters to speak on any further issues? Okay, so we'll see where we're at. We'll go back to the top of the agenda with 145 Broadway, and I think we can hear 2, 3, and 4 together because they all pertain to 145 Broadway, and including, I believe it's 18 Verizon, which is also in regards to 145 Broadway.
Morning.
Good morning.
Anthony Ronalaro, Comcast. Welcome, TJ.
Thank you, Anthony.
Sean Ellis, Brown Castle.
John Moser, VHB. I'm Ross Bullitt, representing Verizon, New England.
Quite a bit of this. Why don't we start with the Galileo Way side. So you're looking to enter the building on two sides, Galileo and on, not Comcast, but you're on the Galileo side?
So we're received permission from Level 3 to break out of one of their manholes.
Yep.
Install one of our own, and we will serve the building from Galileo side. But we also have a connection on the Broadway side, or where the private property driveway is. Mm-hmm. So it's to complete a diverse path.
So you have received your breakout letter, or?
I do. It wasn't included in the application, but I can get that to you guys.
Yeah, if you could include it, you can do that online. Just
yeah.
Throw it in the.
Okay. Yeah, we got it now. That, so yeah. I can attach it.
Yeah. So why do you need to put a handhole right before level 3s if you're going directly in?
Because we can't put equipment in there. We would need to install equipment in it. And
so you will?
They'll only let us pass. They won't allow us to install equipment.
Okay. So, are all the conduits coming in the same point of the building, using the same DMARC?
Yes.
The whole duct gang. So everybody that's coming is coming in the same spot.
On the Galileo, two sides.
On the Galileo Way side.
Yep.
Because on a few of the sketches, it shows them coming out in different. For instance, Comcast, you become, it looks like you're coming down the sidewalk and then cutting back up into the street.
On the Galileo side?
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, I have a Comcast.
So the manhole we're proposing is in the street, and then it's just a lateral to the building.
Right.
So in the street, through the sidewalk, and the private property to the building.
Yeah. but it shows a different location, but they're all coming in the same location.
My point being was this
duck bank that's leaving the building should be, everybody should be in the same trench.
Yes, so and then we would trench the same spot and then break for Verizon and then the level 3 manhole, which would be Crown Castle and Comcast. Right.
Who's doing all the work? Is it all being done by one contractor?
Yes, on the site. Yes.
On the site, what about once you go out into the street?
I believe that would be the separate entities. And the Verizon manhole is farther away from the level 3 manhole.
Yeah, but everything on Galileo should be in the same trench. They're leaving the building in the same trench. Mm-hmm. They should continue out and break off where you need to break off. So you need to coordinate between all three.
I have a full plan here that might be helpful. So on the Galileo side, come to the level 3 down here using the sidewalk, and on Verizon, it's easiest just to come into the road here. Utilities down here would like us to come all the way to here, and then we can adjust that.
It doesn't call on a
number. Yeah, I mean, well, this is your point of entry here.
Yes.
Has that already been established?
Yes.
Is this the level 3 level?
Level 3.
Essentially, we'll have two duct vents going out into the Verizon.
Yep.
And the second one will be Crown Castle.
And Crown Castle.
And Crown Castle.
Yep. And Crown Castle going to level 3.
And that's the Crown Castle manhole is down there. Okay.
So, Steve, if it makes sense, I can relocate the zone. Oh, my God. I have that on a much smaller scale. So if this is theirs going in, this is Verizon's going in, my drawing would indicate the manhole here. If I can move it back here somewhere, make the connection, then I can either follow Verizon in or I can jump in with these guys. Or we can all make it all merge.
But you're also showing coming down and all the way down Broadway.
Well, that is, we want to make that final connection to the manhole on Broadway.
From the manhole you're installing?
From my new manhole. So new manhole.
So you'll go around that level 3. Yeah.
That's in addition to.
So far,
what will be the proposed schedule?
We would start construction after the moratorium for this conduit, and then try to get the hardscape immediately following. And this is why we wanted to get everyone together at the same time.
So you're talking May?
April, May.
Yeah. April or May, yeah. Okay, so it takes care of Comcast. Crown Castle, so that you take the same path and you're going into level 3?
Correct.
So you'll work with Comcast to utilize the same trench?
Yeah.
And then Verizon looks like you'll be going out straight out to the street? And then over to?
Yeah.
And over to. So
correct.
That would take care of the Galileo Wayside. Okay, so I'd make a motion to approve.
Second the motion.
On the Comcast and the Crown Castle petition?
Correct.
Okay, so motion to approve. Coordination with DPW, if by chance you're a little ahead of schedule, you need to get a letter in before the moratorium. It doesn't look like you will be, though, but
right.
Typical conditions.
So site visit would be now or in April?
We could do it now.
Okay.
That can all be coordinated with DPW schedule as far as, you know, when they want to meet.
Okay.
Get that part done. Okay, so the motion was to approve both Crown Castles and Comcasts.
Correct.
Okay. So on the motion?
I second the motion.
All those in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So
thank you.
So for Boston Properties, section of this. I believe you're installing a 2-inch line to, you're requesting a 2-inch line, Don Galileo?
And that would connect to a sewer manhole for a sanitary sensor, which is
the wastewater holding tank?
Yes, yeah. Required by the DPW.
And you're also looking, you'll be using the, coming out the front of the building, heading down Broadway to a Verizon hole on the other side?
Correct. And that's for Boston Properties fiber infrastructure
mm-hmm.
to the new building.
All right, so that trench there would also need to be coordinated with Comcast.
With Comcast.
Yeah, so share the same trench and share the same trench.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the lighting and the conduit on the sidewalks, that'll be coming, forthcoming, still?
Forthcoming, yes.
Okay. So that'll be petitioned separately?
Okay.
Okay. So in regards to this petition, it'll be for the 2-inch going down Galileo for the stormwater and the conduit on Broadway to the Verizon manhole. You'll need a breakout letter also.
Yeah.
Upload it from them.
Upload
it onto the, yep.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll make motion to approve with typical conditions and also site meetings and coordination with Public Works.
Yep.
For number 4, I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. And Verizon. So Verizon in regards to 145 also, 145 Broadway. So you're just coming out on the Galileo side?
As well as the Broadway side.
That's our...
Oh, that's your side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
I think that's just the breakouts. The
yeah,
conduit.
Yeah, you're doing the breakout.
And, they'll get a breakout letter from you for the breakout.
Sure. Sure.
So yours is on the Galileo Way side.
Right.
How many conduits was that?
5.
One was for the city?
Correct.
Okay, I'm making a motion to approve also, as with previous petitions for 145 Broadway, just site meetings with Public Works.
Sure.
And, you know, if the project is moving around, it goes before the moratorium, you'll need a letter to the Commissioner of Public Works. So that'd be a motion to approve.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Petition number 5, Cambridge Network Solution. I believe we can hear this with Crown Castle also. Petition 6.
Yes.
Just bear with me for 1 second. If you could just state your name for the record also.
Sure. Jeffrey Harrington from Cambridge Network Solutions.
Was that Croncastle here also for petition 6?
Yes.
If you could, yeah, we'd like to hear that one at the same time, where it's, I believe, the other piece of this duck bank also. Okay, for the Cambridge Network Solutions, this is starting at a Verizon manhole.
Yes, what we would like to do is start the permission process to reach out to Verizon to lease conduit along 3rd Street down Hurley Street. The reason that we're stopping there is based on some research that we've done in the past. There's no additional conduit available going north up towards One Canal or 25 First Street. So what we're looking to do is come to the board, request permission to start the process to lease conduit from Verizon along that path. And then once we have our letter, we will come back. So we're asking this to be continued. We will come back with the appropriate license and upload it to the website. Then what we will do is, the long-term plan is, we will send out notices to all the communications providers of the proposed trench going up First Street. That will then provide us continuity from a Verizon breakout. We'll bring that Verizon breakout letter up First Street towards One Canal, and that will pick up with the conduit that's related to Petition 6 that we've elected to become a joint participant in, and we filed that paperwork with the lead company, Croncastle.
Okay, so if they have space on First Street, you won't be going trench, obviously.
Correct, but we've been denied. There's other folks that we've worked at from an engineering perspective that have been denied. Yeah. But if for some reason it comes back, then we will not propose the trench.
Okay, all right.
And we will bring that documentation. You know, it'll be on the license of what they issue us.
Okay, all right. So I make a motion to continue, so you can pursue your licensing and.
Further
evaluation on First Street.
And then I assume you want to remove it, so do you want me just let Dana know when we get the license to put it back on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that's the motion to continue.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so petition 6 is for Croncastle. This has been continued. I believe it was for Common Trench?
Yes.
Yeah. And how'd you make out with Common Trench?
Just Cambridge Network Solutions was the only company.
Oh, the only company?
Correct.
Did you submit that online also?
Yes.
Okay. You submitted the application and for Common Trench?
Yes.
Okay. So you are in that manhole now?
We are in the Verizon.
In the Verizon
Correct.
Manhole. And did you obtain a breakout letter?
Yes.
You did. Okay. If you could submit that online also.
Yep.
Into that same, regarding that same. So you'll be adding, you're in there for a 4-inch also?
Yes, that's correct. Right. And we're asking to be stubbed outside of the Verizon, depending on, because we cannot... Because we don't have a license, we couldn't enter it even if there was capacity, so we would have to come back and do a breakout, depending on where our license goes. Or we will extend it into our own trench.
What's your time frame on yours?
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible. I just hate to see the place dug up. Twice if you get leasing. What do you think about your leasing?
Oh.
I think that's probably out of the question.
I don't want to
that route.
I would prefer not. The good news is we'll stub it in such a way that if it is going to go into Verizon, it's just a small patch.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold up Crown. The way it's been going is, I can't imagine it's more than 6 months to 8 months out. I think it's based on what we've seen in the past.
Okay.
There is a 54-inch drain culvert on that intersection, Thorndike, and it looks like you will be crossing that. Have you investigated any elevations out there with how that's going to conflict or potentially conflict with your duct bank or conduit?
We can test fit it. And when, you know, we're certainly not, if we have to downsize the conduit on our side to make it fit, we're amenable to that. It's a fiber optic cable at the end of the day. You'd like to have a 4-inch, but if we have to squeeze down 1.25 inches or something to help the solution. Once the test fit's done, we're not the lead, but we're certainly willing to work with whatever needs to happen to get the right clearance.
It's your pleasure to approve it pending?
Yeah, approve pending test fit.
Okay, so make motion to approve it pending a test fit and coordination with Public Works with all typical conditions. And if it's fast track, you need a letter to the commissioner requesting a dig. During the moratorium. So that's a motion to approve.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's called Crown Castle, petition number 7 for Edwin Lynn Boulevard.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Ramon
Lucen. You're not entering you're staying on state property on this, right? It's DCR property.
DCR property.
Yeah, so you really don't need, we can't give you a rental location for state property.
For Edward Land Boulevard
is a DCR property, so you need to go to them. If you were entering into the side street going into one of our, onto a city street, you would need to petition.
So including manhole location, the rise of manhole location to the CR property?
I believe that all of your work that you would petition for was on Land Boulevard, on Cambridge Parkway, which is on the other side. Yes, that's all on DCR property, so you wouldn't need to go. Yeah, you wouldn't need anything from us, so we'll just make a motion to deny this petition because you need to go to DCR. So it doesn't really, we can't give you a grant for that location.
Once DCR granted the license, we can go and we have nothing to do with the city of Cambridge, right?
Well, you need to coordinate any other permits that might be required. I don't believe it. Once you're out on state.
Well, Land Boulevard State Police.
It would be all through the state and DCR. So we'll make a motion to deny the petition where it doesn't relate to the city. Okay. So on the motion.
Second the motion.
All those in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Petition 10 was for Crown Castle. They've asked to continue that also. So I'll make a motion to continue petition 10. On the motion?
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. EverSource, petition 19. in regards to 55 Broadway. Can you just state your name for the record, please?
Jeffrey Duffy, Eversource. Just say your name.
Oh, Kelly Correa, Eversource.
Sam Morelli, Natumko.
Okay, I think this was petitioned. I mean, this was continued for a couple of months now. I think we had asked that to look to entering the property closer.
Yeah, asked the engineer to shorten the amount of conduit.
Yeah, in the public way.
We had designed it before. We had brought in the, and the customer asked us to change it, so we went with their design. This is the one from before. And that was the shorter version of it.
I have that.
And then they asked us to change, so that's why we went with the different sketch. That's the old one, and this is the new one.
So originally you had asked for the to go directly in, it looks like.
Right.
And then the Temco asked for it to go further down.
The duct bank that we were required to install within two feet of the property line was always shown to be located within the driveway. So when the original work order came out, we sent it back to Eversource saying that the manhole actually needs to be located in the driveway. The reason for that is from Lowry Way all the way to that existing driveway, there's a string of security bollards, and there's just really no way to get under. You'd have to go pretty deep because those are substantial footings for those security bollards. So for us, that's why we are in the driveway. So Eversource had the work order redone, and the length of conduit made longer. And at that point, the work order was executed.
So it's more for access, too? Mm-hmm. Because there isn't, so there'd be a manhole on the property?
Right, so
yeah, I don't think the original showed a manhole. Well, what you had submitted for us, I think that's why we questioned it.
Yeah, we have a manhole within 2 feet of the property line.
Okay.
That's been installed and signed off by Eversource.
The manhole has?
Yes.
Okay. Make a motion to approve with typical conditions, you know, regular permits,
coordination
with public works, timing, if it's within the moratorium, you need a letter to the commissioner of public works to excavate during the moratorium. So on the motion?
Yes. Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we've got 20. 21, now we're going to 22. This is also Eversource. I believe this has been continued.
That's the one for Kendall, right?
He's got Columbia.
This is for Columbia Street at Webster
Ave.
This is Pole Underground for a new development there.
Okay, that one, the last thing I had on it was waiting for the other utilities, right?
Yeah, that's been, the other utilities has been resolved.
So we'll vote on that one then?
Yeah, the only thing that was added was coordination with an abutter.
With M. Grill?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, at 432 Columbia. Uh, And I believe you also had to coordinate with Crown Castle for a small cell they currently have on that same pole.
On that same pole, right, yeah.
Which would have to be coordinated. So I make a motion to approve typical conditions, meetings with Public Works, in coordination with the abutter concerning access to his property.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. So 23 is also continued. This is 1 Kendall Square, Binney Street.
Okay.
Not Binney Street, it's on Cardinal Medeiros.
Cardinal Medeiros. Yeah. And on this one, you wanted us to go up further, the conduit to go up further, so we have the new submission of the new petition, showing that it's 151 feet instead of 131 feet?
No, I think originally they were talking about going down the sidewalk.
Right, and we changed it. So it's now going up. So I had her do the whole thing, the whole petition over.
If you could just state your name, Jerry.
Yep, Terry Telosco from Bristol Engineering.
Right.
Dick Akins, I'm the contractor with the owner.
Okay.
So yeah, so we had met with Jaya. We walked it with Matt Lanes from Eversource and figured out the route from that manhole down to where it's
going. For the new station?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that where it sweeps into the building is going to be deep because we're going to be going underneath the tunnel or at the base of the tunnel.
Did he determine whether this would involve a permit from the MWRA?
I submitted that.
That was submitted?
Mm-hmm.
Did you submit it online too? For who did you submit it to?
Kevin McKenna.
I don't know, Kevin.
He's MWRA.
MWRA, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's the sewer.
Ralph, have you received it?
No, not yet.
You haven't received it. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a couple things you wanted us to look at last time. Was to walk it with Jay. I walked the rope, mm-hmm. the rope, so move it out of the sidewalk, which we did.
Right.
Confirm that the existing duct bank, there was no spares in the existing duct bank that were in the sidewalk.
Correct,
which
yeah.
It did, and it's full, so we can't use that.
Yeah.
And then check on the MWRA permit, which has been submitted.
It's been submitted. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll make a motion to approve pending the MWRA permit. Once you get it,
I'll
let it go to you.
It'll come to me, yes.
It'll come to you and just go into the portal online and just submit it online.
Okay.
So it's in there on the record. With typical conditions with Public Works, sounds like you already had the site meeting, but if it's going to happen prior to moratorium, you're going to need a letter to the commissioner requesting with all the work down there. I think you'd fit right in working on that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. Motion to approve.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so petition 24, this was also continued on Plimpton Street. Just state your name.
Yes, Brandon Nelson, North Star Project and Real Estate Services.
You're the owner of the building?
We represent the owner.
You represent the owner. Okay.
And you had asked if we could look into using the existing service?
Yes.
And we have to go with the new way because the original conduit is leaking water into the electrical room.
So Harvard's worked with North Star for a couple of years now to try to plug the inside of the manhole, but we're still getting water infiltrating into the electrical gear, which leads us to believe the conduit's corroded or somehow compromised.
Plimpton is a guaranteed street, so we really don't want to cut that if we don't have to.
Will you be digging in the street or just the sidewalk?
We'll have to dig in the street in order to get past the manhole.
There may be some mitigation with paving.
Yeah.
Is it within 5 years on Plimpton?
Yeah, so record show, yeah.
Yeah. I make a motion to approve, but you need to coordinate any mitigation with Public Works as far as paving.
Okay.
Where this is a guaranteed street. I'm not sure whether who's doing the work. Is Eversource doing the work?
I'm not saying. One second.
Scully would be doing the excavation.
That doesn't say.
Scully?
Scully?
Kevin Scully.
I'm just wondering where the manhole is so close in the gutter line, maybe they won't need to touch the street.
It looks like on the plan, it looks like it's like right there on
right
the edge.
Right on the curb line,
and
yeah.
Yeah, it looks like mostly the sidewalk will be disturbed.
Well, I think make a motion to approve. We're going to need a site meeting and probably a little further.
Do you want a site meeting on that one?
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. And if... you know, that whatever mitigation Public Works would want is insofar as this being a guaranteed street, depending on the size of that cut, you know, that would be up to Public Works as far as whatever.
And there's no other alternate route before you look into that?
I have no idea if they've looked into it.
That's yes, we've looked into alternate routes.
Okay, so I make a motion to approve. With Public Works' site meeting and typical conditions, and a letter to the commissioner if it's going to happen within the moratorium.
Right.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
And the
yes.
customer writes that letter?
Hmm?
The customer writes the letter?
Whoever's doing the work.
Doing the work.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, petition 25. This is also Eversource. This is Memorial Drive. It's a new petition. Easterly from manhole 796, approximately 369 feet west of Memorial Drive to install approximately 370 feet of conduit.
For an antenna node for light tower.
Why can't you hit the manhole that's right there? At manhole 794. It looks like that duct bank runs all the way down that sidewalk.
Memorial Drive? Oh, wait a minute.
It's actually on Main. I mean, you're looking to, you're requesting to dig all the way down the sidewalk on Main Street.
Oh, so you want to see if we can go right there, out of 794?
Well, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's closer. Okay. We can check on that.
To be honest with you, I'd rather see you dig on Memorial Drive. I'd take a look at both. I'd really like to see out of Memorial Drive. There's all kind of lights out there, and they don't have much of a load for their equipment.
Okay.
All right, so I'm with motion to continue. So on the motion to continue.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes. Yes.
Also, Eversource, this is Albany Street. At and southwesterly from manhole 22 at the intersection of Mass Ave, install approximately 326 feet of conduit.
It's the same for an antenna node.
Why do they say here a street light?
I don't know.
That's overhead on that section. That's an from Albany Street down is overhead. And I believe there's already a node down there.
Okay, we'll check into that one.
Yeah, and also if you're digging down there, proposing to dig with this large duct bank, I wouldn't see, if this is approved, that you couldn't just jump in that same duct bank.
Okay.
I mean, that trench is going the same distance. So make a motion to continue this also, just for a little clarification.
Second motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, 27, this is for Camp Street, also Eversource, northeasterly from pole number 4, approximately 207 feet southwest of 7 Pines Ave, to install approximately 18 feet of conduit.
This is for an electrical vehicle charging station.
I
19 feet.
Is that a primary you're going in? Are they going to have a pad mount out there, or it just looks just like a handhole? 2 4-inch.
Yeah, we usually have a conversion station before the charging stations. Not go the, that'll be on the private property.
The next manhole.
The city does own a 4x4 box culvert out there that isn't shown, and I don't know if it'll be in conflict with what you're proposing to do.
And where is that?
It's on Camp Street.
And what's it called?
It's a 4x4 drainage box culvert.
Does it run the length of Camp Street?
Yeah.
What I was told, yeah.
So you want that shown on the plan?
Please, yes.
Okay.
So we know.
And also, there's a tree right there. I think you have like 2 feet from the base of that tree to the property line where you're looking. It's you need to be 3 feet away from that base of that tree. You need. You would probably have to enter the property before the tree. So I think a little more clarification on the tree and the box called the desk there. So we'll make a motion to continue.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
And the only other one I have is that 110, 120 Brookline, but he's not here.
110, 120 Brookline.
I've been calling.
And we've seen nothing on it.
I just got the plans, and we did like the first page of the petition. Do you want it, or do you want to wait till
next? No, I'll submit it for next.
He's not here, so.
Yeah, you'd have to give me a notification.
I told him that. I told him it was going to be February, but I thought he was coming.
If he has any issues, have a problem.
Okay.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
Yes. Second motion.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.